Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first ever edition of what I would like to refer to secretly as Kidwell's Corner, which would be my edition of the Rob Has a Podcast, So You Think You Can Podcast competition. We are searching for the next edition to the Big Brother live feed correspondent team. And we are here with four. That's right, four, because Team Kidwell is bigger and better. And this is how we do things. Four fantastic potential candidates for you guys to hear from today. I'm going to introduce them very briefly, going from left to right on my screen. First up, 24 years old. He is a YouTuber and a social media marketer. Adam Bongiovanni, is that correct?
You got it right on the nose, Alex Bongiovanni. And YouTuber is a loose word. I'm kind of like the Frankie Grande that isn't 40.
Yeah, I like that. Well, you know, better to be the one that isn't, I suppose.
I guess you're right.
Okay. And, you know, next beside Adam here on my screen, we have Amon. He is 22 and from Philly, studying for his MCAT, which is super impressive to me. How's it going, Amon?
Oh, my God. Hello. Yes, my name is Amon. I am studying for my MCAT. Well, I'm not from Philly. I do live in Philly. I'm from Pittsburgh. But yeah, I'm here to talk some Big Brother. I'm really excited. I can't believe I'm talking to Alex Kidwell. And wow.
Yeah, it's a brave new world. It's exciting times. All right, and to his right, we have Nad Galignanis. Am I saying that right? Woo! A paralegal from Montreal?
Yes, that's exactly it. You pronounce the N, too.
Yeah, well, I saw the tilde. I've had a couple years of Spanish, and I did the best I could.
That's exactly it. I have to talk now? No.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to. Jump in.
I'm so nervous. I'm sorry. Oh, no, that's fine. I'll let it go. Go ahead.
Not a problem. And to Nod's right, we have Puya Zanvikili, who, as I understand, is a bagel store manager in Ottawa, Canada.
Yep, that's right, Alex. Slinging bagels is my thing. But today, it's going to be talking, breaking out some Big Brother. And I mean, how fitting that the one, what everyone is deeming to be the most, like, complex week in Big Brother history is going to be hosted by you, O Reliable, and your Reliable gang. So let's do this.
Woo!
Absolutely. Yes, I have been dubbed Old Reliable in recent times. I don't necessarily deserve it. I'm neither really old or reliable, but I have grown to accept it. Just kind of in broad scope terms, just to give the fans a better feel for you guys. We'll start with you, Adam. How did you find Big Brother? Tell us a little bit about kind of your background and ultimately what led you to this competition.
I remember my dad bringing up Big Brother, like season one, and I was an 8-year-old kid. I don't know why he thought a strategic show would work for an 8-year-old kid. I watched it and I was like, what is this? This is terrible. I wanted to watch like Rugrats. So fast forward to 2009, I was a junior in high school and Big Brother 11 was starting. And I'll never forget, me and my family, we started watching together. We said, you know what, let's give it a try. And I'll never forget the polarizing sides with the lovable heroes with Big Jeff and then against Jesse, who was constantly in power. And I fell in love right away. I remember the fight of Shima and Russell. Oh my God. The night when Shima said, looked in Russell's eyes and she said, you with your little cauliflower ears. And since that moment, I've been hooked on Big Brother. And I haven't looked back since, seen every season, seen every episode, Big Brother Canada as well. And yeah, I'm excited to talk Big Brother with you guys.
Nice. Well, I can say safely and firmly that I too have an affinity for Russell Kyrou's cauliflower ears.
Oh my God. Beautiful ears. Beautiful ears in that small, small man.
Okay. And Amon, same question to you. Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Amon? What makes Amon tick? And what got Amon into Big Brother and ultimately the search for the next live feed correspondent?
tick. Wow, a lot of things make me tick. But I mean, as far as reality TV, I've always been interested in reality TV. I think one of the earliest experiences that I ever had with was actually watching America's Next Top Model. And that's when I was like, I love the idea of elimination style television. It's just like, there's something about like the, just like the energy behind never knowing what's going to happen, who's going to go home next. And it wasn't until actually 3 years ago that I found Big Brother. It was after my freshman year of college. I was still on campus for a summer job with a bunch of other friends. And they were like talking about this show. I thought they were talking about somebody's Big Brother until someone was like, oh, it's a TV show. And then all of a sudden, I was spending hours upon hours upon hours watching BB15, which is arguably the most controversial season of all time. So what a hell of a doozy for me to enter this arena watching that season. But as crazy as that season was, it was just the same amount of crazy that I am. So it was just like I was hooked immediately. And ever since then, I've just been, I got onto Big Brother Canada, and I, you know, I'm just, I live for the drama. I live for the tea. That's just it. That's why I love Big Brother. I love it all.
Yeah, well, I can definitely appreciate that. And I know Brent can as well. Okay, moving along. Nod, same question to you. Give us a little bit about your background, both kind of your story, how you ended up getting into Big Brother and ultimately into RHAP.
Well, I started watching Big Brother season one, which was a fiasco, but still I got it. The season two was so amazing with Dr. Will. I'm a huge Dr. Will fan. And since then, I've been a huge fan. I've watched every season. Same thing for Survivor. I like the strategy that goes into it. I'm not into the drama that much, but I love the strategy. And I love how people get out of situations that seem impossible. And that, for me, is everything. In Survivor and on Big Brother. That's it. I don't know what to say more.
That's good. Yeah, well, Nod is killing it already with me with the Dr. Will love. I mean, if you know anything about me, you know that is like the first way to my heart.
Oh, well, there you go.
Love.
Okay. And Pooya, let's go to you. Tell us a little bit about Pooya Zanvakili and Pooya the Big Brother fan.
All right. So Pooya Zanvakili, my love for Big Brother, man. I mean, I wish I could say it started off on the ground floor, but I was born and raised in Dubai and I lived there up until I moved here for uni. And the thing with us was my dad refused to get update us from dial-up internet. So Big Brother wasn't on TV back home and we had dial-up internet. So I could not for the life of me get online and watch any of it. But once I moved here, season 14 was just wrapping up when I was starting to get into it. So I watched Big Brother 14 based on the buzz I saw on Twitter. And I mean, my God, let me preface this by saying Will over Dan for me. Come at me, haters. But watching Dan just use this social manipulation, and I mean, like, just watching people use the tools that they're given with their personality and their physicality and using that in a competitive field was just amazing to me. And I mean, I had watched Survivor before I moved to Canada, but it was really Big Brother. I was like, okay, this is my thing. I'm more of a sedentary guy anyways, and I just relate to it a lot more. So here I am.
I like it. Yeah, if anyone was looking at the list of potential correspondents, I was looking at Team Alex and was wondering, like, how did Alex end up with these people? The Dr. Will love 10 minutes in. I think that should say a little something here. Not everything, but it says something for sure. Okay, let's get into this season a little bit in some broader terms. Big Brother Over the Top. It's going on. It's pretty well about halfway through at this point. We're certainly in like what I would consider the mid game. Adam, give us your takes on this season, just kind of as a whole, like the differences between OTT and Big Brother. What works for you? What doesn't? And what you're enjoying or not about this season?
Okay, so first off, a lot of people are having like gripes with fan voting. For me, would I want a fan vote during the regular season? Of course we have it, but not to this extent, no. But what we get this season that we haven't had in the past, like for the past few years, you see your one group alliances like the Derricks and the Hitmen and the Bomb Squad run through the other side of the house. With Big Brother Over the Top, you're not going to see that. The fans are going to make sure, and this season is built for us. It's built for the diehards. We're not going to let that happen. We've seen both sides get picked off this season, and I think every Big Brother Over the Top season, we're going to see that as well. There's not going to be just one side getting pogonged, and I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, well said. Aman, your take.
BB OTT, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I mean, after BB 18, that that was tumultuous for me. So I was just like, I don't know if I can even deal with the fall. Like, I'm supposed to be studying. I have a job. Like, what am I doing? But I was hooked the minute that they started walking in single file into that house. I was like, I have to sit down and watch this. And it has not, it's proven to not be a disappointment. The way that America's been implemented, the amount of power that we do have, the amount of fans that this probably is pulling in is also just like, it's amazing. I feel like even more so, the fandom has been concentrated, like Adam said, to the diehards. So yeah. It's just like, we have ever so more of people that are just really passionate about the way they want to see this game progress, because we never had we didn't really have a say. I mean, we had it in previous seasons to a certain extent, but never to this. So it's just like, I'm addicted to it. I love the fact that each side, you know, we like to balance it out. We don't like to see one side have too much power. We like to see people play the game. We like to see people struggle. And even though the begging to America isn't necessarily the best thing for a lot of people to want to see, it's still a part of the game in the sense that people are really trying to stay in that house and clawing their way to the finish line. And I love that. I love it.
Now, as a like a fan of the strategy, I personally, I've had a little bit of a harder time kind of wrapping my brain around this season. I've been the first to admit it, I think. What's been your take? Are you not enjoying it as much as like Big Brother proper?
No, I'm enjoying it. It's fun still, but it's been very frustrating because I think it slows down the gameplay a lot. People actually spend their time begging to America, but they all do it. They all pander to America. They put a lot of their eggs in the America's basket. So that's kind of sucks because it slows down the social game and it slows down the gameplay. So that's not really what I want to see, but it has been very interesting to see the other side of Big Brother, which I like a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Puya, this is definitely this has brought out the fans in a way that I haven't really seen this season. You've definitely and there's a lot of different things I think you can attribute to it, you know, whether it's an election year or, you know, what have you. But the base is certainly charged. What do you think that's about?
Definitely. So, I mean, safe to say, I mean, I follow all you, Brent and Taryn on Twitter, and I have for the last two seasons, 17, 18, the Canada season in the middle and now. And I mean, just watching the way people are engaging with you guys, you can tell it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, maybe what you just mentioned, I mean, the political, the elections going on, and a lot of people are fired up with that and are opinionated and are like, they're just like really trying to convince people to go their way. And I think BBOTT kind of like plays to that side of people who don't want to deal with the politics of it all. They're still fired up. They still want to do these discussions and they still want to have things go their way. So I think this version for me, I mean, Big Brother proper till the day I die for sure. But I mean, you gotta see it this way in the sense that it's got us all going. It's got everyone engaged. Even the skeptics from the beginning that were not sure whether they're gonna go with it have been pulled in, whether it was through Twitter, through the social media. It's happened and we're all here now. So I mean, it's just amazing to see it. And I had watched a couple of old Big Brother UK seasons before. So the whole fan vote thing, while I certainly think with this version in particular, there's a lot more of the game stuff involved with the voting, not so much on the UK end of things. But I mean, it's really interesting to see. It's really interesting to see how the dynamics go for the fans that are in the house who are really trying to play to this game they've never really seen before. And just how all the day-to-day, the casuals, the recruits are dealing with it as well. So it's intriguing.
Yeah. Could I comment on something that Nod said?
Absolutely. Yeah. To be honest, guys, yeah, feel free to jump in at any time. I know I'm not Brent, and I do appreciate decorum.
I want to make sure it's okay and I don't step on anyone's toes.
No. The only way we're going to really get into
it, my toes.
Really establish kind of opinions and where everyone lies. No, feel free to jump in at any time.
Okay, cool. So Nod said, I know she said it slows down the strategic game in a way, but you have to remember that these players have nothing to compare Big Brother Over the Top to. They don't know if they should pander to America. They don't know if they shouldn't. They've never watched a season like this before. So that, and to me, it's not slowing down strategy. It's just a new strategy. And in my opinion, you have to tread the line of playing too hard to America and also playing your own game.
Okay, well, what I mean by that is I think there's players in the game who just don't get it, and they're slowing down the game. And I think if America wasn't involved, and they didn't think that America was on their side, maybe they would be acting another way, and their strategy would be better than that. Mm. That's what I think.
Okay. Chrissy.
No.
Yeah, well, since we brought it up, I threw out a couple tweets this morning, very controversial. And you know, I do this from time to time. Certainly,
like Alex, like this is like it's early. Like, oh my god, like do you really want to go into the fray right now? Like,
I was screenshotting them when I woke up. I'm like, Alex is not having anyone's shit right now.
You know, sometimes it's good to, you know, throw out a little shock statement, generate some controversy, generate some debate. You you get people's real opinions. They don't cut corners when they don't feel like you are. So. So I've said a couple things about how I feel like Chrissy needs to be the nominee based pretty much entirely on Chrissy as a person and not really anything else. And I'll own that. Somebody tell me why I'm A, an asshole or not, and B, wrong or not.
I can do that. Okay. So I'm going to start by saying you are not an asshole. You're not an asshole. I will say, because the reason that you want Chrissy on the block is arguably for some of the, at least the energy behind that is arguably the equal energy behind people also wanting Alex on the block. You want Chrissy on the block because she threatens to quit. She checks the rule book. Like, girl, what are you doing? People want Alex out of the house because she begs. She relies on America a lot, especially since the boss masters have been getting their way for, you know, a certain amount of time. So I just think that it really depends on what kind of thing you want to see happen in the house. For me personally, I want Alex in the block. I'm sorry. Not because she begs. They all beg. Who cares? That's what you're going to do. I want Alex in the block because I want to see her prove to people how much of a game player that she is. If she really is this mastermind, if she's this comp beast, even though she's only won two comps on Big Brother Light, let's be honest, BBOTT comps are not the same as Big Brother proper. Let's just be real. If she is this game player, prove it to us. I want to see it, especially when you have a built-in alliance member. That's how I feel.
And fair also, enough. Alex, so I know you're still unbiased, but if you are on team Alex Willett, wouldn't it be better for her to be put up on the block and 100% have a chance to play in the veto and take herself off rather than be backdoored without a chance to play? Just speaking like from an Alex's fan's perspective.
Yeah, I would think so. But, you know, speaking as someone that doesn't want Chrissy to think that America loves her,
I think
there's a disconnect somewhere in there.
That ship has sailed. She thinks they love her.
Yeah, Nod, what's your take on this?
Yeah, the thing I have with Chrissy, because I've met a Chrissy before, I get Chrissy, okay? I work with a Chrissy, and I've learned to get along with that kind of person. The thing is, I feel like she talks about the game like she's in therapy. Oh, I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting how this is going. There's nothing to trust. There's no process. This is a game. Focus, girl. If she gives me that, I don't want her on the block. But stop talking about, oh, thank you for making me a have not with Whitney. That was a mistake. That was a complete coincidence. Just enjoy the game for where it is. Open your eyes, and maybe that I respect her more. But because she stops the game from going on, that's why I want her on the block. That's all I have to say.
If I may interject.
You may.
So my thing with Chrissy is that, and the reason I agree with you, Alex, the reason I want Chrissy to go up is because, like, what I've been reading this morning, there's a lot of people arguing for that, well, shouldn't Chrissy be taken to the end by them? Like, wouldn't you, as a Ball Smashers fan, want to have Chrissy there? And it's like, perhaps, but as of right now, if we're just leaving it to the hands of the competitors, they think Chrissy's a fan favorite. I mean, she's not been put up yet, and she thinks it, and I mean, perception is 9/10 of reality in that place. If she thinks that's the case, she's able to make other people think that's the case. I think this is a great opportunity for that to get shattered. And if you are a Ball Smashers fan, it allows them to see that, okay, this person is not beloved. This person is not put up on a pedestal. The ground can be taken from under her is what I'm trying to say. And I would love to see that. And I would love to see the fallout. Maybe that's a little bit more me than, let's say, strategy. But, hey, I want to see what I want to see.
But isn't that more about bringing down Chrissy other than uplifting the people that you're rooting for? I feel like America kind of, and not everybody, but I feel like we want to get rid of Chrissy because Chrissy, we don't want Chrissy to think that we like her. But from a gamer's perspective, we already know that America doesn't like Chrissy. So we should keep her there in order to help the people that we want to win. Like,
yeah,
I'm not an Alex fan, but
if, what's the point of having someone doesn't understand it? Like, I know, but that makes it boring for me. You understand? I'm like, I just want to shake her.
But I hear that now, but I feel like that's one gamer, or lack thereof a gamer. That's one person out of this pool of people.
Justin too.
You know what I mean?
I know Justin too doesn't get it at all, but at least he started to see the strategy behind it to try to get Whitney. He sees what's going on. You know what I mean? I don't need to be a huge player, but at least understand it, because you're sucking out all the fun from me right now. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I guess, Aman, if Chrissy went out, is there anyone who would be a dissatisfying winner at that point, really, for you?
I don't think so, but I also don't believe that if Chrissy were there, I don't think that if Chrissy leaves, she's gone, point blank. If she stays, she's not winning. So Chrissy really is a non-factor for me. I'm more focused on people that are there and playing and not looking at rule books and not scratching their hands. Like, I'm not there for that. I'm not here for Chrissy. I feel like we should be focusing on the people that are there to play the game. I feel like if we put Chrissy on the block, she's just going to cry. It's going to come shattering down for her that we don't like her. And then what? Like, then she goes, and then it's like, okay, we got Chrissy out. But I just feel like if she's there, it heightens the possibility for someone that I want to win the game. And that's just how I feel about it.
Fair enough.
Who do I want to win the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I want to hear. Yeah, Aman, who are you pulling for this?
You know what? Listen, it's been a struggle for me because from the minute Justin walked in that house, I was Team Justin. But as of late, this guy, I mean, and I agree with you, Nat. I agree with you. Like, this guy doesn't know from up from down. Like, I don't know if he thinks that he is on the real world. I don't know if he thinks that he's in the drive-thru for Burger King. I don't know where he thinks he is.
Good chance.
He's just not there. So right now, I have been feeling a lot more of Danny's game. I agree that with Shane gone, she has been stepping her game up. We've seen her talk game a lot more. We've seen her interact with the house a lot more. So right now, my cards are with Danny. I also would not mind an Alex win. I am not an Alex fan, but I would not mind an Alex win.
Adam, where's your do you have allegiance this season? Does it lie anywhere? Are you just in it for the ride?
No, I think I originally had an allegiance to the Misfits, and I really did like them. And then, but as time went on, I kind of just want to support the person who's gonna give us a good strategic winner. Mm-hmm. So, and when you were talking about winning before, I think Danielle, she has the best shot at winning, in my opinion. I think the diehard fans are at the end. If Justin's in the end, I don't think he's gonna win. I think people love Justin, but mm-hmm. I think everyone's going to recognize that he's not playing the game. He really doesn't know what's going on 96% of the time. And Danielle, mm-hmm. I think she could even be Jason. And I think maybe not Alex, but that'd be a close call.
Wow. Puya, you agree on that? You think Danielle's this big of a threat for the vote at the end?
I think it's she's evolved is what I'm trying to say here. I mean, like, we saw Paul last year start from, he didn't even know what he was doing. He had the whole house read wrong. And I mean, he just started picking it up piece by piece. And I kind of see Danielle going off the same trajectory. And in a season like this, where we're seeing like the early on power people are still somewhat around, like we've got Jason still there, Alex is still there. Justin was the early fan favorite. And I mean, I feel like these people have been read by the house as these key players, and they're definitely going to be targeted in the next couple weeks. But I think Danielle could slip through. And I think she would deserve the win at the end, not just because she slipped through, but because she's gradually becoming better and better. And I think we're all seeing that right now. And I think that's why we're rooting for her, because she played it slow, and now she's playing as the game goes on.
I think she's in a good spot with like six people after Wednesday. It's a very good position to be in at the bottom of your alliance, because you're not being targeted by the other alliance, and your alliance still doesn't want to take you out just yet. And when they want to take her out, she could win a competition. She's a comp beast. I think winning the last week twice showed her potential to be a competition beast. She could win POVs to the end of the game.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, I guess more kind of moving into kind of this week and some of the chaos that it comes from it. Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit last night about all of the plethora of scenarios that could unfold with, you know, all the variables, the co-HOH, the POV still in play, double eviction looming, all this fun stuff.
Oh, God.
But ultimately, you know, a lot of it just hinges on the fact that Shelby still isn't sure exactly who she's going to save. Nod, do you think Shelby's going to ultimately save Alex? Or, I mean, do you think she's going to save Whitney?
I hope she saves Whitney because Whitney's already doesn't trust them that much. She's really on Justin's corner. So I guess if she doesn't nominate her and nominates Alex, that's good. And by the same way, Chrissy would get nominated by default, I think. So I think that's a better thing for them, for her.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Amon, do you think, based on what you heard last night from Live DRs, that kind of thing, like, how likely do you think it is that Shelby, do you think she's really considering this?
I mean, it's become apparent that she does believe that Alex is a threat to her. So I don't necessarily know if she knows when the right time to strike is. I feel like this is, like, if anything, I think this is, like, the beginning of the wheel starting to turn in her head where she's like, you know what? This girl's looking a little bit too hard to beat, so I might have to, you know.
Yeah, Alex's social game has not been on point this past couple of weeks. She hasn't been interacting with people that much. She hasn't been patient. She has been petty. So
I think, I don't know if she, I think for right now, the impression that I get is that Shelby is kind of just leaning on Whitney as that safe bet, because even if Whitney does decide to flip, Whitney's not the best comp person. We've seen that, you know, she hasn't really won any comps yet. So I think isn't she the only one left not to win one or something like that?
Might be. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like she's probably going to stick with Whitney as far as the nomination goes.
Adam, do you think Shelby realizes how dangerous it is to potentially go the other way?
Well, I don't think she's going to nominate Whitney. Based on her DR session last night, she actually did say that it really hinged on the fact who came up first in the have-not card. And she said, because whoever comes up first in the house, it's, I guess, the consensus, that they believe that person is America's Nom. And does Alex have a good chance of being America's Nom? Yes. But I truly think she's going to nominate Alex, not for the reason to target her, for the reason that she wants to work with her to backdoor Justin.
Yeah, but this morning, they were Morgan and Alex were freaking out about just the fact of going up on the block. So I don't know if they're going
to... They were going to try to prevent it, right?
Yeah, get into Shelby's ear for that not to happen, not realizing maybe it's the best case scenario.
It is the best for them, to be safe.
Puya, what do you make of this, like, this week being, like, backwards logic is forward? Like, it does seem like there's scenarios where you almost want to nominate your people, right?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this last night as I was listening to the podcast you guys recorded last night at work. I think it's very interesting because this is the inverse of a fan favorite twist, Battle of the Block, where the way they gamed it, they would put up the people they would want to ask to throw it. And here is the complete opposite. They're putting up people they like, not to ask them to throw it, but ask them to please, please win this so that I can get the choose the replacement and make sure that you are not going home, that our allies are not going home, and that everything stays intact. And I mean, this is kind of bizarre, to be honest. Like, it's amazing how we're going to be in a situation where you're going to have to go all in and put your alliance on the block, hope they win it, bank on that, and then have your way, or put them up and watch them go home. So it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I did not expect us to see a whole new this game through a whole new lens, but I think we're witnessing it right now.
Yep, I agree 100%.
I love the fact that Whitney was like, "Hey, listen, America. Just so y'all know, I'm not afraid to pull the trigger on Alex, and I live.
Let him know, girl. Yes.
I loved it.
What about when Alex said she's ready to flip after this week? Nod. Were you buying that, or I know a lot of people weren't buying that.
I think she's telling the truth. I think she's going to try. I just don't think it's going to work. She burned too many bridges. Her social game has not been on point. She has been very frustrated. She has not been patient. And I think that's going to come back to bite her in the bum.
Yeah. Adam, do you think she's going to try, or do you think that's,
no, zero chance. She is pandering to America. She thinks, okay, they just gave Jason a care package. I want to be on Jason's side. There is zero chance she flips. The whole season she's been saying, Jason's, I knew he was going to come in and play this dirty game. There's 0% chance she does that. No, not going to happen.
I do feel like she spent a lot of the season trying, right? Like
she's gonna try.
I feel like the story of Alex this season, right? Is she tries to build these bridges, and then whether it's, you know, the nature of the game or the nature of Chrissy or, you know, whatever it may be, something just tears it down. Am I wrong about this, Iman? This is bad read.
I feel like, you know, it's a tug of war. I agree. I do think that Alex has been trying to branch out a little bit. I do think that America has fueled the divide. I think that we love to see, as much as now we're seeing that the divide isn't the best thing to happen, but we've kind of fueled that so much for the past couple of weeks that I don't think that there really is anything that they can do about it. I think that in a perfect world, it makes sense for Alex to say, at this point in the game, because that's what happens every other season of Big Brother, at this point in the game, it's time to start looking at the other side of the house. In a perfect world, that would work. But I think exactly what Jason said to Shelby yesterday, even though Shelby said in jest, like, how about we just agree to put somebody on your side on the block and send them home? She was just joking when she said that. But when Jason said in response was the truth, like, we haven't been working together this whole time. Like, we don't have any foundation. Like, there's nothing for us to build off of. So how do you expect me to work with you at this point? I think it's the same with Alex. There really isn't anything for her to, there's nothing for her to go for. You know what I mean?
Too little, too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely a different kind of a season. You know, it definitely has created a different kind of a house dynamic. I guess, Puya, how much do you attribute the divide this season to the nature of the game or the nature of the cast?
Well, I think you guys touched on it yesterday, where that first week was kind of integral in how the rest of the season got set out, where Cornbread was saved, the one side would have had numbers. And I feel like that would have forced people to try and force their way into that majority. And then a lot of cracks would have happened. A lot of little circles would have occurred. But the way it happened the first couple of weeks, it kind of made it one from this end, one from that end, one from this end, one from that end. And now we're getting to the point where it's like, all right, by the time this week ends, one side's going to have numbers, one side's not. So I think someone like Alex saying in the DR that she's going to flip to the other side, I think she's just hedging her bet. She's not doubling down on the ball smashers. She's pretty much making it so that, I mean, she saw – I mean, RIP Virgin King went out last week as the nominee. So
rest in peace.
Yes. And now
never forget.
Never. And now this week, she's kind of seeing it as, okay, so if Morgan's the one to go up, she's on my side. Scott was on my side. Or if she goes up herself, she'll think, okay, now we are the side that's being rooted against. Now we have become the standard that needs to be pushed aside. So in my head, she's doing this to try and move. She's trying to say that she's going to move to the other side just to pretend that she's going to be in the middle, which I don't see her truly doing, but I think that's where she's going. And I think that's the amazing thing with the whole, with the America's play here, is that they have to interpret how we're playing but on their own. I mean, Dustin mentioned it on the first LFC battle. We have all the information and we almost don't know what's going on some of the times. So it's amazing watching them trying to piece things together based on the little information we're sprinkling into the house.
Yeah. And now
I love how a lot of
go ahead.
Sorry. I love how a lot of the decisions being made over the past couple of days have to do with, you know, who's going to be first on the have not list. And it's like, no, boo boo. You guys are the only choices left. Like, there is no strategy there. Like, come on.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's like we're just kind of gods controlling. And like every little sign is like, oh, should we interpret that as, you know,
yes.
Like, how do we interpret this? Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Luan, help us out.
Oh, God.
Pacify.
Yeah. Nod, I know Alex has been like a big source of divisiveness this season. A lot of people have a lot of different takes on Alex, how she's playing the game. Yep. You know, Puyo just touched on like, you know, the idea of hedging your bets and really trying to explore all the options. I do think there's an element of the fans, right, that like that respond to that she wants to think about all the outlets and explore all the different ways. But is that something that is doomed for failure on BBOTT, given that America's going to see that maybe as phoniness?
I just think that you like Alex or you don't like Alex. There's no like middle ground like Chrissy. I think they're very similar in that way. I just think that Alex really lacked on how she was presenting her game to the other players. She played it very close to the vest. People don't trust her anymore. And that's something she should work on if she wants to. I really think she wants to try because she wants to win and she knows her numbers are dwindling right now. So it's not going to happen for her. But I just really think that she lacked a lot of social game. I'm going to repeat myself in the past couple of weeks. She just didn't care about it. Just yesterday with Shelby, oh, she needs to get over it. Well, give the girl a chance. Be her friend. She's your ally. So like, if you don't take your time to reassure your ally, nothing else going to happen. So that's why I think if she's on the block, I'm okay with that. It's her fault.
Yep. Anyone want to elaborate on that or should we move on?
I think we could all elaborate. Do you want to go first, Amon? I don't know if or Puya, whoever just said that.
I'm ready, but you guys go ahead first.
Oh.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. Well, I think that Alex, her failure in this game was she couldn't hide the fact that she was controlling her side. It was very evident from early on that Alex was the puppet master for the ball smashers. And even Whitney knew that from being in the alliance. And that's, I think, why she's starting to turn. And she said she'll pull the trigger and vote her out. So if she could have kind of masked that a little better, Alex would be in a way better position. But she struggled. And she did appear a little inauthentic with the other side when she did try to make deals with them. Like even her going up to Chrissy and doing the compliments, it did come across as a little fake. And I understand that happens. It's tough to fake niceness and fake that you want to be friends with someone as vile as Chrissy. But she didn't do a great job with hiding that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have felt like we weren't necessarily duly critical of Alex this season. So I definitely wanted to take a second and try to provide the opportunity to really get to the core of why people might feel that way.
And that's why I think Whitney did a good job. Like she goes outside and she paints her nail with Chrissy. You don't need to like interact or apologize about everything. Just little things. You just go and cook with Chrissy or even with Danielle. You're trying to have like a point of interest, which is not that big of a deal. It can be just brushing your hair or talking about, I don't know, clouds. I don't know. But you know, you need to try. You know, but she didn't even try. She just hit herself with the ball smashers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's a fun group to hang out with, I think.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, okay. Well, moving on, I think, you know, we've touched on Alex. We've touched on Chrissy. Jason and Justin, these are two guys who are, you know, in many ways joined at the hip this season. It's very, very unlikely duo, but it's a very fun duo to watch, I think, in many respects. A lot of people are thinking, like, you know, obviously Jason wins the co-HOH this week, so he's safe. But next week, or rather Wednesday, the double eviction, you've got a lot of scenarios where one of those guys are in trouble, right? And potentially even Justin this week. So, Amon, do you want to elaborate on that? Touch on that a little bit?
So, I mean, yesterday when I found out that Jason won the co-HOH, I was distraught, okay? I was sad. I was like, this is horrible. Now, next week, one of them is definitely going home. But as I also said, Justin... just not giving me what I need in a Big Brother player. He's giving me everything that I need in like a reality TV star, but there's no strategy. There's nothing. There's just pizza songs and merriment and farts. Like that's it. You know what I mean? And so now if Justin were to go home, which is a very likely possibility for the double eviction, if he doesn't go home this week, if Shelby doesn't get her way, Shelby remains and we go into next, well, she's going to remain because she's a co-HOH, but if we go into next week, he's definitely in the line of fire. And so is Jason. I'm definitely pulling for Jason to make it through over Justin, even though Justin was my fave, because I do agree that, you know, if he can save himself next week, take it on the dressing train, just maybe. But until then, I'm gonna go back with Jason and Danny and Alex. That's it for me.
Adam?
I think it's the best case scenario for Jason's game right now. If he can make it past this double eviction, let's say Alex goes home this week, Justin goes home in the double eviction, and then Jason's at final six with his two biggest allies who will never turn on him, the girls who are hopeless, Whitney's hopeless without Justin, Morgan, let's be real, Morgan I don't even know what Morgan's been doing. I think Jason is in the best spot if that happens. And I think – imagine Jason can get out Justin without actually having blood on his hands. And I know there's no jury, but just to feel good about himself and his friendship, it would be, I think, beneficial moving forward to get Justin out of the double eviction for Jason.
Yeah, yeah. Puya, do you agree?
I do agree. Adam made very good points there. But I have to say that I think – I mean, as much as I think Justin has a big chance of going home in the next couple of weeks, if he survives that, he's in a good place. But I think Jason's in a hard spot right now. And I think, like, when I saw that he got co-HOH, I couldn't believe it. Because I was thinking, like, why is no one – I mean, like, I'm assuming everyone knew the information at hand. Like, he's not going to be able to participate in the next two things. And to me, if once they find out, they have to take that shot. You know what I mean? Like, he's the returnee player. And I know that in this game, it's Jason might not be number one on the polls right now. But you got to imagine that a lot of these house guests in the back of their head somewhere should be thinking, this is someone who has had publicity on this show, who has been on the TV version of this show, and who is a lovable guy. So I think his odds are looking pretty slim to make it out of the double eviction personally.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a blessing and a curse, this co-HOH, in many ways for Jason. And as far as Justin goes, I think, you touched on it a little bit that his game has really, in many ways, been an anti-game, I think. But can he win this game?
I think he can still. Yeah, he has to, like Jason, he has to go. Hopefully he goes through the next two evictions. I love Jason. I love the character. I love the message he's sending out to the world. But the thing is, and I understand because I have ADHD, so I know what it is to sometimes read something and then you do the complete opposite, and that's perfectly fine. But the thing is, he needs to focus. But I think he's doing it in his own way. And I think He knows Whitney was important last week. He's the one who brought her over. You know, no Justin, no Whitney for the Misfits. So
that is
true. Really think he's doing it. Yeah, he's doing the strategy that he can and what he sees. He's not going to go over there and make deals. He knows he's going to break. He's not going to go behind people's backs. He's just going to be upfront like he always said he is. And I think that's true. And he's going to try to lure people in slowly and with his social game, which maybe Alex should ask from him some advice from Justin.
Yeah, Aman, if Justin is, assuming he doesn't go home this week, he's getting that next care package, right?
Oh, you know, I would pray for it. I would love for it to happen. I would jump for joy. I would throw a party, okay? But I don't know. With Morgan still there, I don't know. We've seen so far in the past couple of weeks that the boss master, like, I like what Brent said on a couple of podcasts ago. It seems to be a trend where the Misfits fans are louder, but the Plastics fan seems to be a little bit larger in numbers. So if Morgan is still around, I'm not entirely sure if, especially if Alex is still here, you know, because people want to, or if Alex goes home this week, people want to be more fired up than ever to want to keep another sister in the game because America loves the sisters. They do. I don't know why, but they do. So, you know, I would think that he would get it. I would love if he would get it, but I'm not entirely sure if he does. I think that he needs to do a lot more claiming of his game in DRs. Like, I think that, you know, if he, like, he did say this past Friday that, you know, I made it this far by being myself. You know, I've been doing nothing but being myself. That's what I came in here to do. That's what I'm going to do. So that it's gotten me this far. So that's what it is. I feel like if we would see a little bit more of that, if he would just tell us why he's doing everything, the thing that he's doing, then maybe people will get behind him. But until then, I don't know. I don't know what that care package going to him.
I was disappointed by how he acted in DR last night. He mentioned one name, I think. Yeah. I think he mentioned Whitney or maybe Alex. I don't even remember. But what he said in DR was, the most I got from it was, we're going to ride this saddle to the end, baby. Like, he really didn't give us much more than that. And he didn't talk about his game. Every question was this vague, ridiculous answer about how, yeah, play in the middle, be myself. Like, to be honest, we don't want to see that. And I know he doesn't get the game. I understand that. But he's been there for what? Six weeks. I know six is his unlucky number. I get it. But he has to give us more than that in the diary room. And, like, I was just really disappointed with how he acted in the diary room. And I love Justin. I really do.
Oh, Adam, come on, mon cheri. Just chill.
Come on, baby.
Come on. It's not that serious. Yeah, you did.
And I mean, I think, Adam, you're touching on some great points here. And I mean, I have to bring it back again to last season, where someone like Paul, I see a bit of parallel in their games in the sense that they were both the bigger personalities on their season. I mean, in BB18, there was many of them, but a lot of them went out early on. But Paul was someone who, again, like started off, was the same as Justin, kind of like never cared, you know? And he picked it up eventually. I mean, he picked it up and he took the little bits and pieces that he was learning on the way and he started applying it to his own game. And that's, I think that's where the fandom for Paul really exploded. Was like, not only can you be entertaining, not only can you be new to this game, but you can pick it up this quickly. And I think if Justin was able to even show a little bit of that in the next upcoming weeks, I think his fandom will rise again. And I think his equity will rise as well. But if he's going to go the same way, I mean, we've seen it all. You know what I mean? Like, we need something new to come out of Justin here.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to. Because he's
has put it in his head.
That he's the most popular player since the pizza videos. So it's a completely different game than the Big Brother that Paul played, because Paul was in a different game and he didn't have any really America's interaction. He never got any care package. He always had to focus on the game and learned week by week how the strategy works. But Justin has been told by everyone, oh, well, you're winning. So he thinks he's winning by not doing anything. And I understand why he's not doing more strategic thinking than he should be doing.
Oh, I agree. I think his house perception, I can't blame him for it. I mean, when you're told you're the best, why wouldn't you think you're the damn best? But I think if he wants, like I'm saying, like from our perspective, from us, from the outside looking in, I think we can all say that we want him to turn it up just a little bit.
But if how he
wants
is he to win us to know that?
No, I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying like
we hope
that
he does.
Should be. Yeah, we're hoping. Fingers crossed.
I think he does.
One.
I think a little bit.
I think also a difference between Paul and Justin. Yeah, I think also a difference between Paul and Justin's in game was that Paul came in guns blazing. He was entertaining. He was Paul. He was unequivocally Paul. But yeah. Paul also was a target.
Yeah.
From the get go, Justin has never felt the heat of that orange chair or couch, whatever it is. He's just been coasting through, and not only due to the happenings of America, but also due to the people here in the house. So. I think that this week will be telling. If Shelby manages to get him on the block, which I'm sure she probably will be able to, how he responds to that, how he decides to wiggle his way out of that, if it's a pizza song and he gets him off the block, so be it.
Good point.
Gets off the block, then, like I said before, I'll buy another ticket to the Dresden train. But like I agree with you. I do think that he needs to play.
Mm. Yeah.
Not play around. He needs to play.
Can I ask everyone a question? Like, I don't know if this is allowed, but I think if Justin makes the end, I don't think he beats anyone unless he's up against Chrissy and her twin sister Chrissy. Like, I don't think Justin wins. I think the diehard fans are going to recognize the fact that he didn't play this game as well as everyone else, and maybe he'd beat Morgan, but Jason would beat him in my opinion. Danielle would 100% beat him, and I'll stand by that, and I truly believe that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seemed like a really hot take a couple weeks ago, but increasingly I'm starting to see what you're saying there, in the sense that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was the food. I don't know if, you know, being a have not, he's just a really, really cranky guy when he doesn't get his Creole cooking in there, but
he did poop himself yesterday. Did you guys see
that? Yes.
I'm not joking. He legitimately pooped himself.
It's a mess.
God bless him. God bless Justin.
They were really – Morgan and Alex and Shelby were not feeling the fact that he ate the – what did he eat? Like a Reese's cup? Oh, my God.
Several small cups. Bread maybe.
Yeah.
The Reese's gate.
Corn, maybe get some cornbread.
Too soon.
Rest in peace to our second Virgin King.
Hey, that's not confirmed. We can't confirm that. Okay, I want to get into some listener questions here in a minute. But first, just kind of really quickly, just want to go through you guys. Adam, who's going to win this game?
Danielle. Truly believe Danielle. There's a lot of Twitter polls, and like, of course, not everyone has the poll like Taryn, who gets 3,000 votes. But I was on one of these Twitter update accounts, and They said, retweet if this is who you're rooting for. And Danielle had 1,000 votes. The closest person I heard was Jason with 600. So I truly, and if you go down the BBOTT thread, there's Yaz Queen, Yaz Slay Danielle Slay, yes. Over and over and over and over. And I think she's building a solid campaign in the house to why she deserves to win. All she has to do is start building those bridges to the other side and connecting them. And I truly think she's going to win this game and beat anyone in the late night jamboree.
Aman, you agree?
I agree, and I live for it because, you know, I wanted so much more for her in the beginning of the game, and the Shane thing happened, the Shane thing stopped happening, and now the Daniela thing is happening. So she's winning comps, she's got an HOH, she got a veto, she's planning, she's scheming, she's doing what she got to do. So I completely agree. I think that Jason is going to have a hard time. One thing that I will say to Danny fans, as a newly inducted character member of the Danny Fan Club now, stop with the Yas Queens and the Comp Beast tweets. Like, let her game breathe. Let it live on its own. You don't have to campaign as much for her because she's doing it for herself. But I agree. I think she's a shoo-in. I really do.
Wow. Nah, are you going to make that three? Or are you going to disagree here?
I'm sorry. I'm not really a fan of Danielle's. Every time she talks, I zone out. I'm sorry.
You and the rest of the house.
Are you not a fan of Friends?
Yes, I am. A huge fan of Friends. But I don't know. When Danielle talks, I don't know. Even if she's saying really smart things, I'm just like, wait, what were you saying? I just don't get it. I don't get her strategy either. I think sometimes she's trying to go too quickly. She needs to slow down and see the big picture because she needs those girls on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, she needs Morgan. She needs Shelby. Those girls are willing to work with her. She closes herself to those girls and, you know, by whatever she's saying there. But she's not seeing the game for really what is actually going on, which when we're talking later, Alex is very perceptive of what's going on. And I think that's why I think Danielle and Alex should be working together. I think that would be a better thing for her. But I'm not a great Danielle fan. I'm sorry. I'm not.
And your pick to win. Yes, it does. But your pick to win.
My pick to win. Oh, God. I have no idea. I like Jason's game. I like Whitney's game. And that's pretty much it.
So Whitney.
Quit all smashers. So,
that was good.
So yeah, I think I would be happy where Jason or Whitney win, both of them. Okay. And I think Whitney's very charming, Alex. I think she is.
Fair point. Yeah, I was probably too quick to judge Whitney for her lack of charisma, I think. That's probably, warranted.
Yeah.
It's the slow speaking, you know, it's just people are too quick to judge because they're not willing to wait for the end of the sentence.
Chrissy does speak fast, Alex, just letting you know.
Yeah. Chrissy.
Well, there's a happy medium in there somewhere.
Yes.
Puya, who do you like? Who you got to win?
Oh, man. So, I mean, my heart from the get-go, my heart said Alex. But given, like, I've been watching the game, it's been developing. I think the two front runners at this point from one on each end would be Shelby and it would be Danielle. And the thing is with this, I really personally am a fan of the way Shelby has portrayed herself in the house versus how she's portraying herself in the diary room. I think she understands the way the social dynamics work. She understands that we respect the fact that she can play stupid but not be as stupid as she's playing. But also, I agree with what Aman and Adam said, where I think Danielle is on a trajectory now, is like she's in the bottom of on the bottom of her alliance in a sense, but I think she's a bit of a comp beast at this point. And I think if we find her at the end, I'd have a hard time not wanting her to win, to be honest. I mean, she's got a narrative that we've seen a couple of times on different seasons of Big Brother where you lose your showmance in the beginning by going over the top under the covers, but she's going to end up at the end winning over the top under the radar.
Lisa Donahue.
I don't think Danielle lost well under pressure, though.
She reminds me a little bit, not as much, but like what you just said just brought Lisa back, Big Brother 3. Like, she didn't play a strong game like Danielle kind of is, but she did ditch her showmance, and look what happened. She won.
Yeah.
Or Jordan season 13, not season 12, because – or not Jordan, excuse me, Rachel.
And well, Jordan 11, she didn't she was obviously, Jeff kind of drug her along, but she still did ditch her showmance and win.
Hey,
so
now.
In that
hey,
sense,
mm-hmm. Jordan never ditched me. That's not cool. Don't be implying that.
Lawson, Lawan, Keith, Schroeder will be very proud someday.
Yeah. Oh so, yeah, okay. So, and then I guess just last thing really quickly, just to kind of set up where we're at in the game right now. We've touched on a lot of things more broad picture, you know, really trying to get people a feel for who you guys are as podcasters and Big Brother fans. But so, you know, we have a safety ceremony tonight. It seems presumed, right, that Shelby and Jason are going to be saving, what is it? Chrissy and Morgan?
Or no, Justin and Morgan. Mm-hmm.
Justin and Morgan. Well,
Justin and Morgan.
Morgan for sure, and either Chrissy or Justin.
One of those two.
Is a lock for tomorrow, yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay, and then really what it comes down to is what will Shelby do tomorrow? Probably save Whitney, as far as we know right now, right?
I truly believe that's what's going to happen.
Cool. Okay. So we're all on the same board on that.
Co-signed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then... Yeah, again, it's a week where it's really going to come down to the veto, and all kinds of things could happen. Aman, who do you see going home? Down to the veto. Who do you think
who
is
do
gonna
I see
go
going home? You know, I'm counting on my lucky stars. I'm sorry, Alex fans, but I see the demise of one of the Willett sisters. I just see it happening. I hope that it does because, I mean, I just remember. Behind, oh my God, why are Liz and Julia still in this house? We gotta get rid of one of them. Come on. Like there was fire. There was pitchforks. There was, oh my God, there was so much energy. And now it's just like, oh, it's fine. Let them stay. Put your feet up, you know. So I see it. I just see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Nod, who do you think's going home this week?
Oh, it depends on the veto, like you said, but I think Alex has a pretty good chance of going if she's the American nom or if she's still on the block because she presented herself as a huge threat and as a mastermind. So there is no way people are keeping her in the game.
Okay. Adam, I'll throw it to you.
I think it's either going to be Danny or Alex. I think if, depending how the veto goes and who brings who down, obviously we don't know yet, but I think Alex does have the best shot at going home, and I'm sorry all the Alex fans out there as well, but yeah, I would say Alex first, then maybe Danny. I don't think Justin's going home this week. I really don't.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. It's like you either go home now or you live long enough to see yourself win the game, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both Chrissies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Booyah. What would you say? Are you co-signing this?
Yeah, I definitely have to. Like, I don't want to, but hand to paper, I gotta sign this because I think it's everyone's saying it. I mean, Alex is in a point now where it's win veto or see you later. Now I don't know because I don't know if Chrissy somehow is the America's nominee. I'd be interested to see how that plays in. Does she have a shot of going? Who are they going to use the veto on at that point? It just gets really interesting from there on out. But as of right now, as of today, I would say Alex has, unfortunately, the biggest chance of going home out of the bunch.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some questions. If you want to, you can submit those on Twitter. Use the hashtag RHAP, I think is what we're still doing. So, yeah, do that. And first, we have this question here from Ali Giancola. Did Jason bring the co-HOH on himself with all of the Shelby hates? Aman, let me throw that to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people were expecting Real House of Big Brother to go down today. Like, they wanted it, you know? Like, and they know that. That's one of the things that I do like about Jason is that he's, even though he says all this stuff, he's also very self-aware. He said to Shelby, like, look, they were probably expecting us to go at it. They know we don't like each other. Like, so yeah, I definitely believe that Jason and Shelby, they were clashing. So it was only a matter of time, especially if you want to keep other care packages available for other people, this was the one to give to Jason. So,
yeah. Anyone have a different take on that?
I disagree a little bit. I think that the Jason fans panicked and they said, oh my God, we're going to lose our king. We're going to lose Jason this week. We have to save him. Instead of looking at the long-term picture and saying, well, it'd be better off if we give him the double eviction care package. So I think that they just panicked. I think a lot of the late night Jamboree fans panicked. Shane, of course, has to have his 2 cents and tweet, vote Jason. And he did. And I think it was a big panic on the Jason fan front.
I agree.
Yeah, I would have to say as well. Same.
It is an interesting dynamic this season, right? Because I have these votes impacting the game so heavily. And then when they do, we're left to stop and think about, like, why did the vote happen the way it happened? And it could be so many reasons. Amon, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, yeah, I agree with the Jason panic. But I do think, because I think that this margin, at least according to the to BB Network, that poll, the margin was so high. Like, I feel like there was Jason panic, but I do think that it was also backed up by a lot of
a variety of things.
All
yeah.
Smashers fans being like, hey, I want to see them go at it. You know, that's why I think I got so much power. That was a large leap, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of the moral for BBOTT is that is this something black or white? No, it's kind of a shade of gray, but nobody's really trying to go there.
Possibly indigo.
Here's a question from Tim Wall. I have a question. I think I misunderstand the co-HOH. Is it the co-HOH that does better in the veto who chooses the tiebreaker, or is it the veto winner who chooses tiebreaker if the HOH can't decide? So this was something I was even confused about minutes before showtime, before we went live last night. I have no shame. I'm happy to admit this. This is the most confusing week in Big Brother history for me. It's not especially close, and I enjoy the strategy. So I can't even imagine how some people feel who are just in it for the lulls or whatever. So, you know, who wants to elaborate and clarify on this one? Does anyone want to jump on this?
Yep. I can. It's the person out of the two HOHs who has the higher score. We don't know what the competition is, but whoever finishes ahead of the other one breaks the tiebreaker. They could finish fifth and sixth. Whoever finishes fifth has the power.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly. Not who wins.
Yeah. And which power? Clarify that.
I hope we cleared that
up. Oh, the power to break a tie in case the eviction votes are tied. The HOH, the co-HOH that decides who goes home on eviction.
Right. But as for the re-nominee, that is up to who claims who in the ceremony.
Right. Yes.
So and many things to think
and
about.
That has been where there has been some confusion, I think.
Yeah.
Two different ceremonies that are separate and yet both coming up very, very fast here, right?
Yep. Do you guys think that they did these save ceremonies so Justin would be saved, and because they thought that Shelby would save Alex? Do you guys think that's a reason why the production tried to save their big guns?
I just think that's how the game was played the whole time. So I just think they're following through where they were, how it's supposed to be. I don't think they're trying to save Justin. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that it was.
Is that thought out?
Specific.
Just kind of rolled with it.
I mean, we would love to think that with the amount of production tea that got spilled this season, love to think that.
Go Whitney.
How did that happen?
Two people working behind the scenes on late night on a Wednesday. people.
Let's go to this question. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love how one of them, I mean, it was clearly someone that was away from the mic, and then there was whoever was like closest to the mic was like, guys, stop.
All right, let's go to this question from Silvica. I'd like to ask the new live feeders, what new do they think they can bring to the table? All right, so you guys have a general understanding of what me and Taryn and Brent bring to the table. I'd like to think Taryn is, you know, bring a lot of strategy, and Brent is bringing a lot of, pizzazz, and I'm bringing a lot of both. So, you know, what do you guys offer in the way of, eclecticness to the mix that we currently have? Adam, I'll start with you.
Okay, I think I bring something very different to the table, and obviously you guys all bring something great, but I'm very sarcastic, except I know what I'm talking about. I'm not one of those guys who comes in being very sarcastic who really doesn't understand the game. I love strategy more than anything, and I relate to you guys in that sense, but I do think I'll bring something a little bit different. Also, I'm not afraid to go in the trenches, go into the forums, do what I got to do, talk to who I got to talk to, figure out what's going on in the Big Brother house, Big Brother Canada house, wherever you guys want me to go, I'll go. You know what? I'm similar in some ways, but I feel like I'm also very different.
Cool. All right, Amon, I'll give it to you now.
I think that what I bring is, of course, you know, I like I said before, I love talking about Big Brother, and I love talking about the drama of it all. I do. I'm also a big fan of the strategy. But I think, you know, one thing that I love the most about Big Brother is that it is and always will be a social experiment. And I love talking about, I guess, like the psychology behind it. Like, why do people do the things that they do? Why is it that you're not making the decision to go after this person when you should have been doing it before? Like, I love talking about, like, you know, the decisions that they make and how that can either improve their game or screw it up. I think that I talk about strategy, but I guess in a different wavelength than, you know, just pure, you know, chess pieces and pawns and stuff like that. I like to think of them as people living everyday life, because Big Brother is a microcosm of life. So that's what I bring.
Nadia, I'll throw it to you now. It is Nadia, right?
It's Nadia, yes.
Okay. I made the assumption. It seemed like a natural assumption.
Yes, my name is Nadia, but because of the whole like American Pie thing when I was little,
jumped on the nickname very early.
There you go. So what I bring, oh my God, I don't know. This is such a nerve-wracking question. I think
yes, it is. It's not fair, but
I think one thing that's different about me, I think, is I never dislike any Big Brother contestant. I always like them as a whole. One, like season 9 whole orgy fiasco apart. I think there's maybe one or two I haven't really, I disliked, but I actually always enjoy who they are, what they bring to the table. I'm very unbiased. I know like maybe that's a role that you guys fill too, but I always try to see what's best for their game. And I'm never really personal about it. I love everybody who's on the Big Brother and who tries to get in and give us like almost their soul, like Chrissy would say. So that's it. I really think I can be a really unbiased person. That's it.
Yeah, well said. Booyah. Last but not least, I'll put it to you.
No, I'll always last but not least. I would say, honestly, guys, like for me, what I would bring to the table, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, as Aman said, I really love looking at this game from the social dynamics, the social psychology of why did this person say this to this person, but then say that to the other person, how you can use people's words to construct the perception you want in the house. Mm-hmm. The analytics of it all is beautiful to me. And I mean, not to be Ken from Survivor, but the language and the it's amazing. Yeah. And I love that. And as far as like, for me, it's like a little bit of sense of humor brought into it. And I mean, at the end of the day, who are you going to find with a bigger beard like this one?
Paul.
Hey, he's not in this competition, guys.
What do you think? We're going to return just like Victor.
We're having a hard time tracking down Paul from these podcasts.
Really?
I'm sure we'll make it happen. Yeah, well, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot of friendship going on these days.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question from Kirsten McInnes, my friend Kirsten. What does the panel think of Justin not being punished for eating as a have-not? Aman, I'll give you this first because you touched on Reese's Gate, as you called it. Justin definitely did, you know, he had his finger in the candy. I know it was Halloween time, but, you know, have-not's a have-not, right?
Yeah, so like I said, it's just one of those things that I'm adding to my list of, like, Jace or Justin, why? Why? Like, You already were able to eat on Halloween. You already were able to eat for the halfway point.
Oh my God.
Why, for the love of God, can't you just eat the dry oatmeal and not go for the chocolate? And like I said, like Morgan also ate, and yes, hers was an accident. Push so hard for punishment to occur, then should be punished. I don't know what that punishment should entail. I'm not a producer. I don't know. But I do think that I do worry that like that's going to, because like, I mean, it was his decision to eat it in the first place. But at the same time, if he isn't being punished, that isn't fair. You know, it's just, it's not, you play the game. You're here to play the game. Slop is like, there are people that are dying to eat slop, you know, yeah. And you are over here eating Reese. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Booyah, he is a have not. But he is a recruit, and chocolate is delicious. Discuss.
Well, I mean, we can't deny chocolate is the cornerstone to a good dessert. However, I'm perplexed to bring up, I mean, BB Can Season 2 with Rochelle. It's a different country, first of all, let's preface that. But she had a fuzzy peach, and the entire house kind of had to pay for it. And I gotta say that in this situation, do you guys not think that had what he had done caused everyone else to feel a little bit of pain, Justin would have been in a little bit more trouble with the house. I think so. So, yeah. I mean, not going to lie, I had some chocolate this morning for breakfast. So I'm one to say this. However, if I was told I can't have it, I'd, you know, keep away from it.
Yeah, Adam should Big Brother. You know, and I saw some of this morning, actually, in terms of the, you know, a little bit of leniency with the wake up time. Is Big Brother US too lenient when it comes to some of these things?
Well, here's the thing. It's since it is over the top, I say we give an over the top punishment. Everyone expects them to say, okay, well, Justin, you shouldn't have done this. Here's a penalty vote. I say we lock Justin away for 2 days in solitary confinement and start a new punishment. And I'm serious. I think that'd be something cool to implement, and it would make people not want to break the rules. Because then he loses his time with Precious Wheatney. And then also he loses time to strategize before the double eviction. I think we try something new.
That's true. I agree with
that.
I like it.
I'm behind that.
Yes. Harsher punishments all around. I think everything can get down with this.
Punish them.
What's the point then of it being a have not if you're not going to be punished? You know, like there's, it's unbalanced.
Yeah. Justice for BB Can 2 Rochelle.
There you go.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Our virgin queen.
Yes. Well, again, very much unconfirmed. Here's a question from John Densford. Who is your Big Brother doppelganger? I like this question. Nod, let's start with you. Unless you need some time on this one. Do you need some time?
I think I do. I have no idea.
Does anyone have an answer ready?
I got one ready if you guys want.
Go for it, man.
Go ahead.
Enzo. I'm from New Jersey. We're both Jersey guys. I live about 30 minutes away from him. It's either him or Adam Pockin. After the live show in New York, I'm not going to pick Adam Pockin. There's zero chance that's going to happen. But I think it's Enzo. Like, I love how he played the game. I might not be the best in competitions. I don't know if we look alike, but we both have the spiky hair, and I look like I'm 15, so I can't really say I look too much like him. But as for gameplay and a New Jersey accent and all that kind of thing, I'm going with Enzo.
Meow, meow.
Wow.
Meow, meow all the way.
How about that? Aman, thoughts?
Well, as you guys know, Big Brother doesn't really have a plethora of chocolate men.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Chocolate men.
Hey, I know. I'm Latina, so I'm
sorry, guys. So on behalf of white males.
It's all good. So as far as a doppelganger, you know, and physicality, I don't think that I really have one. Personality-wise, I would definitely have to say that I am a mixed breed. I am between Zach Rantz and Davon frickin' Rogers. Like, those two are every time they were on screen, I felt like I was looking in the mirror. It was just like, I get you, I feel you, I understand you. Like, we're in this together. Like, so definitely those two.
It's a potent cocktail.
Yeah.
Nad, can I come to you now?
Oh God, I'm trying to think because I don't. Oh God, I don't know. Yeah, can you go to the other person?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. So first is BB Can kosher? Is that valid here?
Well, being that you are yourself Canadian, I think I can allow it.
All right, cool. So I would have to say, personality-wise, I would liken myself a little bit to Godfrey, yo. And as far as build goes, I mean, damn, I'm a bit of a little closer to the Pop and Paul side, unfortunately. But, yeah, I would have to say personality of Godfrey, maybe the looks of Kaser. How about that? Let's go with that.
All right. What up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Puya. You helped me.
No problem.
I know now.
It's there's no one else. It's got to be you.
No, I know, but I think it's I think I'm a lot like Sarah Helling from Big Brother Canada. Ooh. I think I do have a strategic mind, but I'm very sensitive and I cry a lot. So there you go.
I like that. All right, well, but you're not a bud tender.
No.
Not
I couldn't.
Yet.
I'm a paralegal, so
yeah, much more traditional profession.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Here's a question from Reality Beaker. If the Willett sisters isn't the most successful and undiscovered twist ever, what is? Okay, so this is a good – here's a good thing to put you on your spot as a Big Brother historian, as it were. Who's got a solution already? Adam, you look like you're ready to talk.
Nokomis and Cowboy, they didn't even know they were a twist. That is the perfect example.
That
they
doesn't
went in
count.
I think it counts. Nobody, they didn't even know they were related. I don't think you could ever find two people in the world that you could put in a house who would see each other and like, yeah, I don't know that person. I thought that was absolutely amazing.
It's Cowboy. Like, come on. Like,
it is Cowboy,
on.
I guess.
Yeah.
With a low IQ. It's still a twist that they didn't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty insane.
I wish they'd do something like that again. I feel like that was so fun, and I wasn't watching Big Brother like live back then. Like I was just not into it, and I wish they would do something like that now because I don't think people would realize, and that'd be another successful twist.
Aman, are you down to, are you down for them to bring back the Maury Povich twist?
You know, I mean, I well, you know me, I live for the drama and tea of it all, but I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I'm kind of with Nod on this one. It was just like,
that was awkward.
Yeah,
it was awkward. Beautiful.
No. I mean,
it was beautiful.
It was so awkward.
Hey, they found each other in the BB house, so I can't fault them for that. But I mean, other than that, it's just like, I'm more of like, if I had to go for like twists, I would. I mean, the family ones are kind of like, I don't want to say they're overdone for me because we don't see them too much, but it's just like, you know what I was really a big fan of? The twist that I was really a big fan of was the fake double eviction in this past season of BB Can 4. It didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen because I would have loved for LaVita to come back, but
me too.
I do think that, you know, and having them be able to watch what was going on, like that's insane. Like, can we please get some fake double? Can we get some instant evictions on Big Brother US? Like, I love that. That's just, it's everything to me.
Yeah. Puya, your thoughts?
Yeah. So, I liked all the twists mentioned. For me though, I feel like because of how character driven BB6 was, a lot of us forget that the twist they had that season with secret partners, to me, that's an element I feel like they should go back to. I really like that idea
of
two people that may not even look the same, or two people that are related, or whichever dynamic they want to go with. To me, that's a beautiful way to go about it. I would feel like that for me. Okay. Yeah, I'm sold.
Cool. All right. And let's go to this question. Fat Tyson Apostle wants to know, is Whitney in the best position in the house? If not, who is? Who wants to take this one?
I'll take it.
All right.
Okay, Fat Tyson Apostle.
I know.
I do think that Whitney is in the best position in the house, but I don't think she's in the best position to win the game, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like she's good. You know what I mean? No one's like, I mean, people are kind of coming for her, but not really. But I don't think that if she makes it to the end, I'm not entirely sure if she's in the best spot to win. So I would have to still say that I'm, as long as on that front, is a little bit ahead of her.
And I think that her and Danielle are similar in some senses. Like, they both are on the bottom of their alliance. They both could potentially work with the other side. But Danielle's setting herself up for a better chance to win than Whitney is. But the thing is, Whitney's not going to get targeted. I think Whitney's a shoo-in for Final Four. Who's going to take out Whitney? She's in both of the alliances, and you're not going to take out someone that you could potentially work with over someone like Jason or over someone like Alex.
Yep. Okay. I think I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. We've done our hour here, so it goes by fast. Do you guys have any last thoughts you want to get in? Now's the time. Feel free to say whatever you want to say. This is your spot, your platform.
I just spoke, so I don't want to say anything right away.
Alex, do you mind me asking everyone a question before we wrap up, if possible?
No, not at all.
Cool. So I was thinking about this right after the Thursday show. I have a question for everyone. And I mean, we've pretty much wrapped up the funeral of the Virgin King. However, one of the biggest things that I've read about him the past week was this bucket list thing. And I want to ask everyone, and I'll answer it myself too. What's your RHAP bucket? What's part of your RHAP bucket list? For example, mine, very honestly, I mean, winning this whole thing would be amazing. However, I would have to say, I would be satisfied with just taking part in one of these LFC drafts that have gone on in the last couple seasons of Survivor and Big Brother. One of those I feel like would be amazing, would be fun for me. And to me, that's part of the bucket list. Anyone else? Go ahead.
That's a really good question.
Well, I've been a huge RHAP fan since Survivor Karamoan. So I've listened to every single thing that Rob puts online. I got to meet Jordan, so that's one thing. I think just being here, having fun, the experience I'm having is just incredible. I'm never in the internet. I don't comment on things. I'm not on Twitter. I don't get it. But like, I like to listen to things, and it has helped me. Rob has helped me in through some tough times in my life. So listening to the podcast and talking to you guys right now, it's a dream come true. And I'm so happy you guys gave me the opportunity. And I think my bucket list has been checked. And I wish you guys all the best of luck and hope you guys win.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Come on, Adam.
It's gonna sound a little petty. Sorry. I'm a messy person that lives for drama. But I would kind of love to go at it with Brent a little bit because there are certain times when he is just like going off, and rightfully so, which he is definitely in his position to do so. But there are so many times when I'm just saying like, Darren, Alex, Rob, or Jordan, like, say something. Like, there's so many, there's like an instant rebuttal that I would have that could be said, and sometimes it isn't always said. And it's not to say that people don't know what's going on, it's just to say that sometimes I think that, I don't know, I just feel like there are certain times when I feel like Brent could simmer just a little bit.
He finds out the handle.
I would love to challenge him on a few of his standpoints. That's it. But no shade to Brent. I love the guy.
No. Well said. I think this is the kind of situation where, you know, if there's going to be a little shade thrown at me or Taryn or Brent, that's just going to come with the territory here, right? Yeah, Adam, what do you have on this issue here?
I think it'd be really cool because obviously, like, just growing, I kind of placed myself in this YouTube world these past few years, and I've come to notice that a lot of people are they hype themselves up on camera and they're different off camera. So I think it'd be cool to attend one of these events and kind of just talk to you guys when you're not in front of the camera and put on like just the five of you. I don't know. I think that'd be really cool to kind of get to know you guys outside of the camera. And I think that'd be awesome.
Well, yeah. This is me. I'm not faking anything. I can't. That's why I would be bad at Big Brother. I can't fake. I'm horrible at it.
No worries. Well, I am someone who can sympathize. And speaking for Jordan, I would say that, you know, I think the goal is to try to expand Podcast House at some point and make it some kind of podcast mansion in the future. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I'm getting the thumbs up from Jordan as we speak. So I think
put me on the wait list, please.
That's a bit of a go. So
when it comes back, I'm grabbing it.
It has been an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you guys, getting to know all of you, getting to hear your stories and your background with Big Brother. I really hope that I was able to like provide some kind of like platform you could work off of. I did the best I could. I have not hosted anything before, so this was fun for me. Please follow these guys on Twitter. They're all awesome. Nad is at Nad Galignanis. You know, there's no tilde in Twitter. Galignanis.
I know.
You can just like... You can simplify it, yeah. Adam is at Adam Bongo, correct?
Yep, you got it.
Yep, and Aman at Aman Adwin, right?
Yes,
that's the BB account?
That is the BB account.
Okay, yeah. All right. And then Puya, of course, at Puyaism.
Indeed.
Good stuff. All right, well, you guys can catch us, the happy hour tomorrow night, Sunday. I believe we're going to record sometime around like 7, like we usually do. And then Monday at 7, I believe, is Taryn Armstrong's turn at this thing. We'll see how that goes. Best of luck to him.
Team Alex.
And absolutely. Yes. Hashtag Team Kidwell. Definitely. I will tweet out the link where you guys can go and vote. Definitely. Come out, give these guys your support. Let them know what you thought about how they did. They all did a fantastic job. So please, you know, come tell them. All right. And
wait, hold on, Alex. I'm just going to jump in here.
Oh my God.
Producer Jordan behind the scenes.
Takeover.
Get ready for a takeover. First off, Alex Kidwell, great job hosting tonight, man. I thought you did a great job. So well done. Hats off to Alex Kidwell. Just so you guys know, Alex said he's going to tweet out the link. They're actually, it's already been posted on the website. So if you go to robinswebsite.com, you go to the show page where this episode is posted. There is a link to vote there. So it's already up. So feel free, if you're in the chat, you're watching this live, go vote right now. And voting will be open, I believe, for 48 hours. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Alex, back to you, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Jordan. I'm really glad you undermined me for that. That was really worth it. Okay. With that is a wrap. Kidwell's Corner now closed. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.